God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. You're watching, of course, what some would call the madness, what I would call the spiritual capture on display of people going around and almost attacking physically other people who are driving a car. We're going to spend some time today examining the spirits thereof, because, of course, we can test all spirits. And I want to do this, though, by way of offering an opportunity to have a different form of interaction between you and I. I'm going to Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th through the 14th for our Activate Summit, and I'm going to learn a bunch at this. I'm the new guy at AFR, still am, and I feel a great, great honor to be here. There are people there far more mature in the faith than me who are going to help all of us learn how to walk in this life, in this fallen world, and abide, and how we apply this stuff in our life, the stuff of God's Word. And this is something that you can attend, and I would love to meet you at this. I get more out of meeting you than you would possibly know, because it allows me to put faces to the audience. I don't think there's any difference between you and me. I just have a unique job. Most people don't do talk radio for a living. I'm always curious about what you do. The cost for this is $75 up front, ages 13 and up, $50 for ages 6 through 12, free for children under 5. And this is really appropriate for kids. There's going to be programs for kids ages 6 through 12. This is at the Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, and a lot of us are going to be there. So I really hope I get a chance to meet you. Here's where you can register. Go to activate.afa.net/summit. That's activate.afa.net/summit. And when you come, please make sure that you have an opportunity to come up and say hello. And let's start with what you do, because you know what I do. Hope to meet you guys there. And Tupelo is a far different place than anywhere I've ever been. Different personalities, different way of speaking. It's an interesting thing anytime I get to travel and experience that. And the separate country of Washington State, the separate countries of the West Coast, is very, very different. But we're seeing now Nevada, we're seeing California, we're seeing Illinois. We're seeing these attacks against Teslas and against the people who work at Tesla. And what are we really seeing? Let's measure some spirits, because, of course, the Word of God is always useful for teaching and rebuke and instruction, always is. So what do we see? In the Bible we read, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Are we seeing anxiousness? Yeah, purposely driven into people's hearts and minds and souls, we are. We're seeing fear. Sometimes you're just seeing people who are paid to do this stuff. There's a lot of paid protesting going on again. You can kind of spot that, as did a friend of mine who was in the separate country of Seattle when some protesters showed up. And funny thing, they took a lunch break from 12 to noon, from noon to 1. Other funny thing, he was looking at some of their cars. Strangest thing, they had in the back of their cars Ukraine signs, LGB so-called TQ signs. They had signs for Democrat candidates. They had a bunch of signs. Because in a lot of cases, in places like the separate country of Washington, believe it or not, that's full-time work for a lot of folks. Paid protesting. Good work if you can get it. So let's test these spirits. There are people who are terrified. that the Department of Education has been shut down. Because what will we ever do without a Department of Education that Jimmy Carter created as a payoff to teachers' unions? What will we ever do? We never had any quality minds in this country prior to the Department of Education. The people from the olden days were stupid heads. Not true. An entrance exam to Harvard now, Harvard graduates couldn't pass, and they tried it. We've seen the performance in the classrooms go down, comparing American students to international students. There are school districts, 30 of them in Illinois, 30 of them, where it appears that kids can't read. It would appear that way because they're not on grade level in reading in zero of the districts. And yet the money continues to pour in. Why? Because it's about the money. The Department of Education made sure it was about the money. But there are parents who are terrified that their kids now cannot get scholarships. They can't possibly go to school without all this. And so listen to this story here as we check all spirits. As we check all spirits, listen to this story from a young mom in Linwood, Washington. She was attacked for driving a Nazi car.
Lee was on the way to a doctor's appointment in Linwood Wednesday morning when she says all of a sudden, a driver behind her just laid on the horn as they came up to a red light. Things spiraled out of control when a white SUV followed her and cut her off, stopping in the middle of the road.
Gets out and walks straight up to my door window. So I crack my window and I said, What is the problem? And he goes, you need to sell your car. This is a Nazi car. You're driving it. You need to sell your car.
Lee says she's been driving a Tesla for the last 2 years. She says the man wearing a camouflage jacket and a ski mask attacked her for it.
It's really sad, like, that this is what's happening to people who honestly, it doesn't affect how I believe or what I believe. Just the car I drive. Being in Seattle, it was climate's important, our footprint's important. This seemed like the right move for our very busy family.
This, however, isn't the first incident or act of vandalism reported. We've seen attack after attack after attack.
Sometime something's going to get out of hand. Let's check the spirits again. What are we seeing as we check these spirits? God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. 2 Timothy verses 1, or chapter 1, verse 7. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life, have it in full. But it's when we get to Galatians, I think one of the most interesting point counterpoints in the Bible, chapter 5, verses 19 through 23, that I think we can really, really check these spirits. And we'll get to that in a second. See, I come from that area, the separate country of Washington State, the pride, the arrogance, the divisiveness, the abrasiveness, the spirit of the flesh. I've shared some stories with you from time to time. If you haven't heard them, just a quick review. Walking into a Brazilian restaurant one day with my daughter and her cousins, I think probably 5 kids in total. I'd taken them down to the Seattle Center. A couple of adults were with me, but they were not yet at the restaurant, so I walked in with the kids alone. And I walked past a guy at a bar. He was on what was apparently a first date, just given how these two were interacting, seemed to be a first date. And we were being seated. I walked past, and he turned around on his stool, and he said, "Wow, replacing yourself wasn't enough. You needed 4 more of those." I said, "Pardon me?" He said, "Replacing yourself with 1 kid wasn't enough. You need 4 more of those." And I looked at my daughter and she shook her head. "Don't make a big deal." I said, "Oh, I won't. I won't. Just follow the hostess and take your seats. I'll be right back." And I walked over and said, "Were you talking about those kids?" He goes, "Yeah. Yeah, they're overpopulated. It's not enough just to replace yourself." Now, I don't know that I was in the spirit when I said this, but I said, "Hey, you know, I got a great way you could solve this. We're up about 7 stories. Why don't you go jump onto the freeway? Take yourself out if you're worried about overpopulation." And he said, "Well, why don't you just stop spitting out kids?" Now, I know I wasn't in the spirit when I responded with this, which was, those are dear children. They're innocent. They've done nothing to you. And if that's not a sufficient explanation, I'm sure if we stepped outside for a little while, I could explain it more clearly to you. That's not in the spirit. I'm not proud of that. But his first date, the woman there, she laughed at him. That's common. That's not the worst we faced. There was the time Antifa came to the radio station. I'll tell you about that in a second. See, these separate countries, they really are separate countries. The paid protesters, they go out and get paid. It's a good gig if you can get it. But there are full-on terrorists who really do succeed in shutting people up and shutting businesses down. And there's a reason that when they walk up to your store and say, here's your pride flag, that even people who don't want that flag accept it. Here's your Ukraine flag. There's a reason that stores have Ukraine flags, because they don't want their businesses destroyed. We'll check all spirits again here and get to Galatians. First, let's do this. The Daily Show's audience surprised their host when they vehemently cheered for the Tesla attacks happening across the country.
Jim, they're taking to the streets or the parking lots.
Tonight, the FBI and ATF now investigating multiple cases of possible arson targeting Teslas and Cybertrucks.
This dramatic video shows multiple cars in flames. Police say the attacker used Molotov cocktails. It's the latest in more than a dozen instances of arson and vandalism targeting Tesla.
The same suspect shot more Teslas with a gun. Tesla Cybertrucks were set on fire in Kansas City, and earlier this month, shots fired at a Tesla dealership in Oregon. Cybertrucks on fire in Seattle.
Wow, you guys like petty acts of domestic terrorism, huh? Cool.
Well, they're not petty acts burning down people's cars, which is one day going to spread to a building. There were bombs found inside of a Tesla showroom. That's not a petty act. And yep, the clapping seals in that audience liked that right up until the time you key their car. Then you're even a double, triple Nazi. Let's check the spirits we're observing. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. And it continues, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here's the point counterpoint. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, these people, of course, would tell you they're doing this because they love LGBT, so-called TQ people, to whom nothing's being done, save an attempt to block people who have a dangerous psychosis from being in the military. If you cannot recognize reality, the blatant reality that you are not a woman but a man, you shouldn't be given a place within the military. That's a dangerous psychosis. It also often maps back to sexual violence in the case of autogynephiliac men. But there are people who believe that eliminating the Department of Education will eliminate the ability for same-sex attracted people to go to school. I'd stand against that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Same-sex attraction and acting upon it is no different at all to the Lord than looking at a woman with lust in your eyes, or a man. No different than fornication or adultery to act on that. The separate countries are separate countries, and I'll explain what happened when Antifa decided to come by the radio station as we transfer into a second part of this, which is the Department of Education going away. And praise God. Also go out to the separate countries and let you hear a little bit of testimony as the separate country of Washington State makes yet another attempt to separate parents from children. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We're checking all spirits today. I'm checking the spirits in terms of these attacks against Tesla owners. And I think we've come to a conclusion right now that we can look at the Galatians passage, chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. We see the acts of the flesh. Among them are hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, factions, and envy. I think we can see a lot of that in these attacks. And just a warning, you're going to pick the wrong target. That's going to happen to you if you continue this. It's not a threat. I wouldn't want to harm anybody. But one of you is going to pick the wrong target. And then stuff gets out of hand. But of course, you know this. And some people are hoping for that. The fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see there that it doesn't say affirmation. It doesn't say agreeing with people, particularly when they're acting in ways adverse to the acts of God, the Word of God, I should say. The shutting down of the Department of Education is one reason people have as an excuse for these things. We'll talk about that, and I'll talk about why I praise God that it's being shut down. Much to the chagrin of many, many people I know well who believe that this will end education in and of itself. And because it's easy to get started, a lot of this stuff is happening in the separate countries like Washington and California and Oregon. To some degree, Illinois is a separate country. And when I say that, I'm being sincere. I'm not trying to be clever. They bear almost no comparison, no connection to the United States, particularly the West Coast separate countries. For instance, this. There's a reason why a lot of people are silent on the gender lies. A lot of people will put up Ukraine flags, and they'll put up so-called trans pride flags, and they'll put up Black Lives Matter Incorporated merchandise in their store, or stickers on their store windows, even if they don't agree with any of that stuff. They do it as an insurance policy. Please don't break our windows. Please don't burn our stores down during the next riots. There's a reason that people put those bumper strips on their cars. There's a reason a lot of people bought Teslas. I guess a lot of people think they're fine vehicles. I've had people tell me they're the greatest consumer product ever created. I don't want one. I don't want an electric car. I wouldn't pay the price tag. Insane. But a lot of people bought them to virtue signal. Back in the day, in Seattle, one of the most high-selling items in aftermarket cars was a hybrid thing you could put on the back of your car. So in case your Honda wasn't clearly hybrid, the hybrid thing wasn't big enough, you could replace it and put a bigger one on there to let people really know. But that's just virtue signaling. There's also, though, the thought police. See, those stickers that go on store windows, they help you avoid things like this. When I was working in radio, and see, this is when I was doing the afternoon show prior to going and getting transferred into the morning show. I was doing afternoons, and I believe the program was either 3 to 6 or 4 to 7, I forget which. And I was walking out of the radio station, came outside, and there were three guys there, clearly Antifa, dressed in black block, complete with the masks, and they stepped to me. Now, this is before I was discipled. I believed in Christ. I followed him to a degree. I wasn't discipled. But I also wasn't going to get beat on by three guys. So a little bit of my redneck upbringing kicked in. I took a genetic test. I'm 79.87% redneck, by the way. So I picked the biggest guy, stepped up to him and said, "So you and me?" And he said, "What?" I said, "Well, you came to threaten me. Is it you and me then, or are these guys going to get involved?" And he put his hands up. I said, "You came to me. You're here to intimidate me." And then he looked down at my waistband. I said, "Yes, I am armed. I do conceal carry. I don't want to harm you guys. But I'm not a soft target. So what are we going to do?" And I said, "Incidentally, those security cameras are on. I guarantee you my security team has already figured out your license plates." So they walked away. Praise God. Praise God. But a lot of people don't have that. this is part and parcel of living in these separate countries. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of those guys go back to their jobs at Starbucks, or they go back to school. They go back to the University of Washington or Seattle University, any of the schools there, and they continue their course of business. So much indoctrination has come down from the Department of Education. It's not just the failure to educate students. It's the fact that that was never the design. The Department of Education's design is evident in its outcome. The number one thing the Department of Education was designed to do was to spend money, to raise teacher salaries. Why? Well, because they deserve to be paid more. Which teachers deserve to be paid more? If you look at the union business model, all of them. I have worked in government schools. Some of the most formative experiences I ever had were working in government schools. I've worked in government schools and seen brilliant teachers who have done great things with kids under the most challenging circumstances, the so-called behavior disorder classrooms. I've seen teachers turn kids around. I'm very proud of my wife's career in teaching. Excellent teacher, ran an excellent, safe, well-ordered classroom. I've seen other teachers who have no control over the classroom. None. The kids run it. I've seen teachers have to resort to threatening to beat second graders. And they got paid just as much as the great teachers. That's the business model. The Department of Education helped bring about this business model. On college campuses, they took some things that sound great on paper. Diversity sounds great. Equity sounds great. Inclusion sounds great. Who wants to be excluded? And Satan-like, they took light and made it darkness, masquerading as an angel of light. They don't mean diversity of background, of education, of experience, of points of view. They mean melanin level. Because they, at the Department of Education, have participated in the theft of identity. For instance, taking someone who happens to be black and saying, your identity is a color, black. Taking someone who happens to be same-sex attracted and saying, your identity is gay. That's it. That defines you. And if people disagree with your views on marriage, they believe in the biblical view of marriage, they hate you, which is poisonous. If there's some people who won't hire you first because you're black, well, they're racist. The Department of Education participated in these things and paid themselves good money to participate in these things. And test scores in comparison to the rest of the world decreased, reading acumen decreased, and I, working in education, have talked to countless teachers. How many of you ever needed the Department of Education to help you do your job? I've yet to find one. So Linda McMahon explained why she's happy to lead the now crumbling and ended Department of Education.
You know, I've been asked why in the world I would want to be the secretary of a department that is going to be done away with, and I'm actually firing myself.
Pleased to be joined today by the woman who I chose because she's an extraordinary person, and hopefully she will be our last Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon. Linda, you're presiding over something that's so important, and you're going to do a fantastic job, just like you have your whole life. She's had nothing but success, so hopefully you won't be there too long, but we're going to find something else for you, Linda, okay?
We both believe very much that education should be tailored to communities, that parents should have involvement, that local superintendents are the ones working with our teachers with full transparency of what education curriculum should be. The president signed an executive order to shut down the Department of Education and have me be the last secretary of the Department of Education. The president made very clear that Pell Grants, funding for students with special needs, all of those would continue. But he does believe that we'll be able to operate more efficiently by governors and state departments of education, and superintendents and parents can certainly have more input into the education of their students. I believe that as well.
Linda McMahon being the last secretary of the Department of Education, it's a great story. So what replaces it? Well, it depends on where you live. In states that actually understand that God has given us, the parents, the duty to raise our kids, more local control. Praise God. In separate countries like Oregon and California, they understand what's just happened, the threat to them. We're checking all spirits. And as we do this, we go biblically and then back into what's happening in the world. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, we read, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So, though we're evil, we know how to give good gifts to our children. Okay, that's a parental role, giving good gifts. Is a government school education a good gift? If it's what you must do, yeah. If you live in a state that actually values parents, yes. But if you live in a state that hates parents, the government wants to divorce kids from their parents, and your kids are not 100% ready to put on the armor of God every single day, if they cannot launch a defense for their faith, an explanation for their optimism, if they can't stand firmly in the face of people who are attempting to dissuade them from following Jesus and from respecting their parents, get them out of those schools. I know that this is coming from the separate country of Washington, but the trend is similar in other states. Here's a brief clip of public testimony from parents after a ridiculous bill, I'll explain, House Bill 1296 passed in the separate country of Washington.
Teachers are mandated reporters, as you probably know, and mandated reporters do have to report when a child is being abused, when a child has been sexually abused by a parent or anybody else. If we know that,
I agree with you, and my concern is that abuse could be me telling my child that there's only a male and female, two sexes.
That's not what we're talking about, but okay.
That those students who go to those schools, whatever school district they happen to find themselves enrolled, provides a safe, supportive, affirming environment. We all know that when students go to school and they do not feel safe, do not feel affirmed, do not feel supported, their education is diminished. This bill helps to enhance their educational experience. I know a lot of the rhetoric around this is about this fear of what might happen in girls' locker rooms and bathrooms, but study after study shows that there is no increased risk. There is not an increase in violence. And as has been pointed out, those studies show that trans youth who go to school in places where that is restricted, that access to locker rooms and bathrooms is restricted, that they suffer greater violence, abuse, and bullying.
The first voice is the voice of a parent debating a legislator, and that parent is saying, "You could charge me with abuse because I refuse to pretend my daughter is a boy." She's right. She's right. And teachers can mandatorily cause to report that. There's a parent who will not pretend their daughter's a boy. Go get them. And CPS will. This bill passes and signed into law. Child Protective Services doesn't have to come and talk to you. They could just take your kid away from school. Your kid doesn't come home. You get a note from CPS. CPS operative comes by with cops. Your child's been taken into custody because of your abuse. On the other hand, in the separate country of Washington state, 100% of Democrats voted against a bill that would have forced teachers or principals to report when a child was sexually molested by a teacher within 48 hours. They wanted to wait to report. That's the reality of these schools. The second voice there, the man pretending that studies show that there's no increase in violence when boys pretending to be girls are put into girls' locker rooms, is wearing a fake priest costume. and he's lying. There's been no broad studies on this. He's also lying in spirit. Autogynephiliac men who are sexually aroused by pretending to be women have a massive, strong corollary to sexual violence. How do we know this? Prisons, where men who are put into women's prisons act this way. And he pretends that so-called trans students who are not affirmed have more violence acted out against them. Every time you look into the details of those studies, it is always so-called trans on trans violence. Because when people are suffering a mental illness, a psychosis, they can become violent. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Fathers, if your kids are not completely solid in the Word of God, do not put them in these government schools if they're acting this way. And children, no one will ever love you like your parents, save for one person, Jesus Christ, who loves all of us more than we can ever love. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling in a personal note today. President Trump doesn't get it in relation to the technocratic medical state. I'm guessing here that his pride doesn't allow him to get it. I do not want to believe that he's economically compromised. That's difficult for me to believe. Because, man, his net worth has taken a hit. There was a judge who tried to steal all of his businesses in New York and his property. So I think it's unlikely that he's economically compromised in relation to the technocratic medical state. But he has just made the worst possible nomination for CDC director, Susan Munares. And one of the reasons she's being considered is that she has a background from the Department of Defense, running bioweapons simulations. And she's an expert on AI, such as you can be. It's so new in development of drugs using AI. I'll make a prediction for you. Some of the worst outcomes in human health will come from AI-created drugs. Why am I saying this? Because they intend to stop testing them on humans prior to selling them or forcing them upon people. After all, the AI modeling says it's going to be fine. You're going to develop an illness, you're going to go to a doctor, and AI is going to build a drug just for you. Meaning it can never be tested. Meaning it can never be tested on you or anyone else. And they'll never know which one worked or didn't until you find out with this or that condition. Not only that, she tweeted recently, the updated COVID shot is here. CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older get an updated COVID vaccine. Vaccination remains the best protection against severe illness. Make your plan now to get your updated COVID and flu shot. No one who has spent 5 minutes reading the actual studies on what happens when people get boosted is capable of believing that your best way to stay away from severe illness is to get boosted. The opposite is the case. The more boosted you are, the more likely you are to get sick with that and everything else, because it destroys your immune system. This woman should not be CDC director, Susan Menares. Susan Menares is also in favor of gain-of-function research, the process of making viruses more dangerous, which incidentally has resulted multiple times in those pathogens getting out of labs. But don't worry, pharma was there to help, you know, because they love us and such. Gain-of-function is stupid, amoral, and ungodly. It's stupid in this way. If you are an evolutionary biologist, which is, by the way, an oxymoron, you believe in random mutation. Billions and billions and billions of years and billions and billions and billions of chance interactions per second, resulting in the evolution of viral life forms and bacteria. Viruses and bacteria. Bacteria being a life form, virus being a pathogen. And we're going to design them. We're going to out-randomly mutate the universe. No, that's not what they do in gain of function. They use intelligence God gave them to say, how can we make this virus more dangerous so it crosses species? That's not random. It's not evolutionary, and you're not going to outthink God. But you will make dangerous viruses, which will get out, sometimes on purpose. But don't worry, pharma will be there to help, just like they did with COVID. And look at all the good they did. To Representative Thomas Massie, you must oppose this woman. To Senator Rand Paul, you must oppose this woman. To Senator Ron Johnson, you must oppose this woman. Or you must explain why now, all of a sudden, gain-of-function research is cool and good. So choose. Reveal yourselves to be not all that worried about gain-of-function. Or show yourselves to be consistent. Susan Menares should be nowhere near the CDC, ever. On this program, as frustrating as it can be, we place our trust in the Lord. And we thank him for placing supposedly wise people like this woman on tall towers of shaking sand with her feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime.
3 sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. Here's AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, defining capitalism.
To me, capitalism at its core, what we're talking about when we talk about that, is the absolute pursuit of profit at all human, environmental, and social cost. And to me, that is not a redeemable system for us to be able to participate in for the prosperity and peace for the vast majority of people.
Capitalism is defined that way, meaning all capitalists are defined that way. She's describing, of course, a human sin problem. She's not defining capitalism. Oh, and incidentally, in communism, people never lord their power over others. They never seek power over humanity and end up in horrible things like, oh, I don't know, the Stalinist pushks that destroyed millions of people, maybe 20 million lives. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Superintendent Ryan Scallon compares boys competing in girls' sports to women's suffrage.
In our country's history, there have been many civil rights struggles, including but not limited to fights for women's rights to vote, for racial equality, and for gay marriage. In each of these fights, the opposition in part was driven by fear and attempts to ostracize or other people who looked, act, or believed in something different. Today, I see that happening again with our transgender or non-binary students.
He's from Portland, Maine, by the way. And of course, there is absolutely no comparison whatever to black people or same-sex attracted people and people who are told they are so-called trans. You can look at a black person and say, yep, you have darker skin, you have features that might make you African-American. And if people tell you they're same-sex attracted, you have to believe them. I mean, they know how they're attracted. I guess they could lie. And by the way, kids are lying. You know that, right? I mean, you know that, right? Oh, no, talk to teens who are growing up in some of the big cities. They will put on, they'll say they're so-called bisexual so that they're not part of the oppressor class. But in this case, what are we actually talking about? We're talking about theft. The theft of womanhood, of girlhood, the theft of safety. And what is it in a guy like a superintendent, Ryan Scallon, that he can expect us to believe, you're right, a boy pretending to be a girl is exactly like a black young man being told you can't use that drinking fountain. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. I'll just say it this way. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris.
When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
Wait, did she say when we reduce population? She did. When we reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water? Well, no. Actually, you could say it this way. When you kill a bunch of folk, a higher percentage of us have access to stuff. That's what depopulation means. But don't worry. The Democrat Party's not evil. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, sometimes music for me takes me back to a specific time and a specific place. There are songs that I will listen to and instantly remind me of my father or my mother. For my dad, Hank Williams Jr. or Sr., certain country songs, Elvis songs. My dad loved The King. That song, Born in the Ghetto, that really meant a lot to my dad, the social worker. Anytime it came on, he would tell me stories about Seattle, being a social worker there. For my mom, Gordon Lightfoot. And that song, Sundown, You Better Take Care If I Find You, Been Nor Can Remember My Backstairs. My mom loved that record. I think it was the only album I ever witnessed her purchase and play. And I grew to love that. One of the first songs I learned to play on a guitar. Back in the day when I used to go and play in bars, that was one that people would get up and dance to. I always liked that. Sometimes it's just something I pick up online. This is a song called The Devil Wore a Lab Coat, or part of it. Do we not have that? Okay. So there's a song called The Devil Wore a Lab Coat. And we'll play this tomorrow. It's by Mary Cutter. And it is the story of how Big Pharma targeted Eastern Kentucky. And the song... And it's a country song, spoke to me, took me back to a time where I traveled to Appalachia. I was living in Washington, D.C., and an employee of mine, worked on my team, was from Appalachia. And he'd been trying to get into business school, and he kept getting rejected. And man, he was a brilliant young man, great writer, great data analyst, great business mind. And he kept getting rejected from business schools. He was really depressed about that. And one day, we just decided to go on a trip together. And he took me home to Appalachia. And he said, here's some things you're going to see, Todd. A lot of people here are addicted to pharmaceuticals, antidepressants and pain pills mostly. And you're going to see a lot of Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew? He goes, yeah, it's people self-medicate with it. Sure enough, when we drove through areas in Appalachia and got to Stefan's home, There's a ton of Mountain Dew trucks everywhere. It's the beverage with the highest amount of caffeine in it. And it was a time where cities down there, small towns, sold far more of that than anywhere else per capita. And then there were the empty pill bottles. And I learned about the targeting of people in Appalachia with pain pills and stories about how this is going to cure everything, make things better. When the pain pills would become unaffordable, sometimes people would turn to stealing or to fentanyl. And here came the cartels. Now, this was years ago, a long, long time ago, before this was ever a topic of conversation, but everybody knew. There were little documentaries on this, mini documentaries. There were little articles you could find to read on this. And when we got back to Washington, D.C., I was talking to Stefan one day about making another attempt to get into college. And he said, the problem is I don't have a sob story. I said, sure you do. You grew up in Appalachia. He goes, Todd, my family's one of the richest families in our area. Yeah. How'd that feel? What? Being rich and well off? Where you're watching people become addicted to drugs and Mountain Dew? Horrible. What else? I felt a constant sense of guilt. I mean, we didn't do anything to cause it, but I always felt like I should be able to help. If you graduate from business school and become a wealthy man, what do you intend to do? Well, I'd love to come back and help. How? Well, I don't know. I guess I'd need to give that thought and study and prayer. And prayer. He wrote his sob story. God admitted to college, one of the premier business schools in the country. Now, fortunately, his sob story was true, but how interesting that he needed one to get in. And how interesting that the last thing he said was, and pray about it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations. Until we all speak again together, may the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.